This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
In the second hour of the show, we'll speak to Nadav Desai, head of sales at PSG Wealth, about the great wealth transfer and exactly what that means. We'll speak to Bhavanesh Pabu, project manager for the Social Employment Fund. What is the Social Employment Fund? What does it do? Who does it benefit? And who can apply to it to ensure that they are funded and what for? And then we'll spend some time in our Power Suit segment. It is Youth Month. We're speaking to young people doing great things in the C-suite. We are joined today by Themba Mathebe. Let's get into our conversation with Nadav Desai, though, the head of sales at PSG Wealth. All right, so much has been written about generational wealth. We speak about it all the time. We are often always trying to figure out why a lot of black people are not getting generational wealth, even if they've been people who have been wealthy within the family chain. And what we're hearing about now is a very, very interesting phenomenon. It's the one of the great wealth transfer. The great wealth transfer basically means that over the next two decades, parents and grandparents are expected to pass down trillions of dollars to charities and then also their younger generations. So looking at millennials and also looking at Gen X's. And so this great wealth transfer means that, you know, generational wealth can now be well considered by those who are probably young enough to do something about it, to build it, who have time, who have resources, and who have education. So we called on Nadav Desai, head of sales at PSG Wealth, to speak to us about this, because what it essentially is called, the ability to plan these finances as intergenerational wealth financing, is called family financial planning. Nadav joins us now on the line. Nadav, if you can help us to understand what the great wealth transfer is and why traditional family plans are becoming outdated.
Thanks a lot, Tanya. That's a great question. So the great wealth transfer is actually on the cusp of what is happening globally. If you looked at numbers, you would see that while we don't feel like we're moving forward in terms of financial wealth on an individual basis, with a 50 bps rise in interest rates yesterday for South Africans on their loans, fewer and fewer people are on the cusp of poverty or below the poverty line, and actually increasingly more people are wealthier than ever before compared to any other generation. So over the next couple of years, we've got about $86 trillion changing hands between one generation to the next. And what that means is that the older age of shirt sleeves to shirt sleeves in three generations needs to be kept at top of mind when talking about how one does family planning, financial planning. And this idea of shirt sleeves in three generations is so true. Numerous studies have been done to say how wealth built up in one generation, 7 out of 10 families lose it in the second generation, and 9 out of 10 families lose that wealth in the third generation. And so the idea of traditional family planning for intergenerational wealth, which typically happens by a breadwinner, typically a patriarchal figure in a family, is becoming increasingly outdated for a couple of reasons. So the one is that the idea of what money and the purpose of money for a family and the generations to come needs to be shared as a common purpose and goal. Secondly, there needs to be an understanding of what the individual members within a family have as their purpose and goals for wealth, and that thirdly, that those common goals are shared between everyone. And so traditional family financial planning by one person is becoming increasingly outdated as family structures become complex. Wealth is not only built up through income, it's built up through businesses and different kinds of entities and shared between different family members. And so family planning with family members and future beneficiaries is becoming increasingly important.
It's a very interesting dynamic you really bring into financial planning, Nadav, one I've never ever heard of before. And I'm wondering, intergenerational wealth strategies, talk to us about them and why are they important and how they can erode an inheritance?
Great question. So what we do see is that it's very easy for people who understand how wealth can be made, to understand where growth assets can, for instance, facilitate in clients' portfolios in order to generate compounding effects. And then also making sure that whatever income is taken from that wealth is a sustainable income. And what often happens is that as it moves from one generation to the next, understanding that growth assets and being able to understand how growth assets are a key component and only one component in a multitude of asset classes that need to be used in a very sustainable way needs to be put at mind. So if I can give you an example, typically equities is a growth asset, and typically what wealthy people will do is take very sustainably from those portfolios, typically dividends from equities. So those portfolios will typically double in value every 12 years. On the other hand, if you have beneficiaries that, for instance, decide that they want to put those portfolios rather in cash and they want to take, for instance, 6 to 7% interest rates off a cash portfolio, that portfolio will effectively halve in real value over the similar kind of 12-year period. And so you can have very divergent views of either doubling or halving wealth with a competing understandings of what wealth should be for and how it needs to be used.
Very, very keen, Nadav, to learn more on what you're speaking about today and intergenerational wealth, making sure that we're also right on time. And so I'm wondering about being on time. Is it possible that we could delay this for too long and therefore not reap all the benefits that's of family financial planning? And also, when's the best time to start?
That's a good question. So you've got really good questions today. So I'm recording a comment that Warren Buffett once made that said, someone's sitting in the shade today because someone planted it too long ago. And it means that someone needs to take action, and action is often something that you can delay. And there is no better time than starting today. So if you want to see how you have the effects of intergenerational wealth taking maximum effects, start today. Start getting all your family members to start understanding common purpose, understand how wealth needs to pass from one generation to the next, understand that your different needs and objectives need to be understood and heard, so that it is an inclusive financial plan for complex families and entities.
And then, Dev, let's talk about, the rule of 72 when it comes to investments and really also speaking about investment goals, because I think all of this also does come with, the ability to have a vision and goals as a family with regards to planning.
Good. So if you think about the example that I was just talking about earlier about how wealth can double or halve within the space of 12 years, the rule of 72 is a great way to think about how you can use yardsticks to see whether your wealth is moving in the right direction. So typically what one does is you take 72, you divide it by the interest rate, and that is the number of years that it will take for your assets to double. So if we're talking about, let's say, 6% growth on your assets, you take 72 divided by 6, and that will be 12. So that's a very simple way of looking at the rule of 72. Obviously, if you then say, I want to invest in a portfolio that's safe and only gives me CPI plus 3, then 72 divided by 3 will take a much longer time in order to double your value.
Okay, I'm going to try this weekend, Nadav, and I'll actually give you feedback. I think it's a very interesting calculation to try to put together. Nadav, before I let you go, then I must ask, why is a family financial plan not considered as a way of preserving wealth? And also, what can those who are trying to create wealth learn, and maybe from our conversation, but most importantly, from just a family financial planning?
So it is not the preserve of the wealthy. You're absolutely right. Anyone can start with the idea that they want to make sure that there's sustainability in moving one generation to the next. And the great thing is that we are living longer as individuals in a lifetime. And that means that if you think about how long we take to double wealth, if we use the rule of 72, there are multiple numbers of those periods within an individual's lifetime. And so being able to afford the luxury of investing in growth assets and getting that compounding to happen means that even if you're starting small today, over a lifetime, that doubling of compounding returns that happens over every couple of, just over a decade or so, if you invest in growth assets, you can amass substantial wealth as you go from one generation to next. And you will end up on the opposite side of the older adage of shirt sleeves to shirt sleeves in three generations, but actually you can build up wealth substantially from one generation to the next, with a common purpose and goal between the current breadwinners as well as future beneficiaries.
Nadav, I'd like to thank you for your time this evening. And I think we have many of these kinds of conversations really trying to help people take care of what they do have, because it is very, very difficult economic times right now. So thank you for your time. And I hope we can catch up again very soon.
Thanks so much for the interview. No, Tamil.
Wonderful. Keep well, Nadav, and enjoy your flight.
You too. Okay. Awesome. Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye. That was Nadav Desai, head of sales at PSG Wealth.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.